Series called Come to Worship. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to try and look at the different ways we can worship God. And right from the first go, I just want to tell you that these aren't the only ways to worship God. But we're just going to highlight a few of those. The first would be us lifting our hands. So if you paid very close attention to tonight's songs, we sang a lot about lifting up our hands. Then next week, we're going to sing or talk about bringing our gifts as a sign of worship to God. The third week, pouring out our hearts. And then the last week, bowing your knees in worship. Just know that God has given us freedom to worship Him in very many ways. But we're just going to look at these four. And then once again, not the only ways, but let's just look at those four. If you want to open up your Bible or that Bible app of yours to Psalm 63, Amy read a bit of that for us earlier, but we're going to unpack the psalm together and hopefully discover a wonderful way to worship God in our everyday lives. And I think this is an excellent model, so let's read it together. Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. We'll just read that for now. In the psalm, I find it to be an excellent model of worship. And you and I are called to live our everyday lives as a living sacrifice. Romans 12 verse 1, which is your reasonable act of worship. And so often people ask us, what does that look like? How do I actually go and live out this lifestyle of worship you guys keep talking about? And John and I think that this psalm describes it very, very well and answers that question, how to go and live out a lifestyle of worship. But before we do that, before we unpack this psalm tonight, in a very practical sense, we've got to understand the context in which it was written. And if you read on, verses 9 to 11, provide us with that context. I'll read it out for you. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. David wrote this psalm and also a few others. So when you're reading through Psalms and you get to Psalm 61 and you read all the way to Psalm 64, he's written all of these psalms during the time where his own son, Absalom, rebelled against his father. Some of you are nodding. You kind of recall the story. In 2 Samuel chapter 15 to 18, go read the story. It's quite interesting. But when you read the psalm, understand that this is the context. Absalom's just rebelled against his father to the extent where he's trying to kill him. And David flees with a few faithful followers, and they go into the desert of Judah. And they go and hide and seek refuge in the dry and weary land. So when you read the psalm and David writes it for us, you'll pick up a few statements that make complete sense. If you're sitting in the desert, you're going to be thirsty because it's a dry and weary land. So understand that context as we unpack the psalm together. The first thing for us to understand when you read the psalm is that David's doing it. He's worshiping God through the writing of the psalm. All right, so before we unpack that, how would you define worship? If someone asks you, what's worship all about? How would you define it? a lifestyle, actions, okay? I like this definition. Worship is the outward action of an inner conviction. Worship is the outward action of an inner conviction. Now, that action could either be verbal or physical, but it's the outward action of an inner conviction. And to give that a bit of flesh, you and I would worship something or someone in a way like this. We would express how we feel or what we think about them through our words or our actions. So if we think God is loving and all-powerful, we would worship Him like an all-powerful and loving God. Okay? You get that? So worship is that outward expression of an inward conviction. Now, David writes the psalm of worship. Now, let's pick this up. Psalm 63. The first thing David does in the desert is he declares who God is. Verse 1, he says, "You, God, are my God." And this is so important in David's context, where his son is trying to take over his throne and even kill him to seal the deal. We could say that there's a massive power struggle in this family. Hey, some serious conflict going on. And so for David to declare, "You, God, are my God," is really significant. Because his life is in danger. His life is threatened. His life is an absolute mess. He's in the desert. He is hiding. He's not in his palace anymore, protected by his palace guard. He is running for his life. And so this is really important for us to understand that David doesn't start this psalm by saying, "God, what God? Just look at my life. It is a serious mess." He doesn't. In the desert, he reminds himself of who God is, regardless of what's going on in his life. And I think that's the first thing we need to learn about worship tonight from this psalm, is that regardless of where you are in life, whether you are in a desert or you're chilling on the beach every day, sorry, there was no intent on the sand analogy, regardless of where you are, it is crucial for you to remind yourself who God is. Because it's so easy when life is throwing all it can at you to forget about God. Completely forget that He will never leave you nor forsake you. It's so easy for us to completely forget that God will never allow you to be tested beyond what His grace and power can sustain in your life. It's easy to forget that when life is tough. So friends, as we follow this model in this psalm, we need to remind ourselves of who God is when life is tough, when things are really difficult. And then once we've done that, once we've reminded ourselves of who God is, let's follow the next verse. "Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Remember the context. David's in the desert. He doesn't ask God to quench his thirst with water. Although that is a very dire need right now, he asks God, "Quench my thirst with who you are." He asks God to quench his thirst. Not with water, he asks God. "God, quench my thirst." He longed for that life-giving water from God again. Because his whole being was just being drenched and sucked dry. Because he's in the desert, but not just because of that. His family has just betrayed him. Those who've been loyal to him for many, many years are now seeking his life to kill him and take over his throne. His life is an absolute mess, and he longs for God to just fill his tank again. He longs for God's power and presence in his life, just like he could remember it happening inside the sanctuary. He even reminds himself of that. Let's go back to that verse. I have seen, verse 2, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. He longs for that again. And so, friends, when life is sucking all that it can out of you, and it just feels like you're in the middle of the desert, and you long to just run away from everything and go sit in the desert. Now, for us, we don't have a desert, but you long to just run away from life and go to the Drakensberg and sit in the amphitheater and just feel protected and all just forget about Dibbenorth and Umhlanga and all the nonsense that's happening over here. When we feel so drenched and drained by life, may we seek after God like David did in this psalm. That even though he was so thirsty, even though he was running for his life, he longed for God to fill him up again, to shower his power and glory over him again. And may that be true for us as well. That when we go through the tough times in life, may we be reminded, like we sang that song tonight, and all who are thirsty, come. All who are weary, come. Come to the fountain. Come to the river of life. And then when you're sitting at the river of life and you're still wondering, God, where are you? My life is still a mess. Sing the chorus as a prayer every day in that storm, in that desert of your life. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come fill me up again. Holy Spirit, come. I need you in my life again. Because your love is better than life. Hey, verse 3, your life is better than life, and my lips will glorify you. You see, friends, when David found himself in one of the most difficult spaces in life, where not only was he betrayed by his family and people were trying to kill him, he chose in that moment to worship God and remind himself of who God is and that God's love is better than life. He chose to worship God and glorify God with his lips instead of complaining about the desert he found himself in. He chose to worship and glorify God with his lips instead of complaining about the desert he found himself in. Often we look at our lives and it's an absolute mess, and the first thing we do is we complain about that mess and go, man, life is just terrible right now. Taxes are going up, the fuel price is going up, corruption, and we just complain and complain. And a few weeks ago, some of us attended the GLS, and there's one story about this lady who opened up these clinics in Tembisa. And she shares a story where she's talking to somebody. And this person's complaining and complaining and complaining. And her response is, it could be worse. Could be worse. And it just made me think, how often would I complain about the mess we're in? The fact that I would love for this church to be packed Sunday night and Sunday morning. And I complain and I, you know, come on, let's do some stuff. How about, Jan, just glorify God with your lips and the rest will follow. Hey? How about let's just love each other as passionately as we can and the rest will follow. David got this right in the desert. And here we're sitting in an air-conditioned room. He got it right to worship God with his lips in the desert. Not complain, Lord, where are you? I've just been chilling in my palace. And now all of a sudden I'm in the desert. No. He decides to glorify God in his desert. Friends, may we start doing that when life gets really tough and follow this model. But sometimes our desert is quite a storm. Sometimes our desert is quite overwhelming, where you're in the desert and now it's a sandstorm and you can't see a foot in front of your face. And life really, really gets you down to that extent where you can't even utter any words out of your mouth whatsoever. And you're really struggling. In those moments, I will praise you as long as I live. Verse 4, and in your name I will lift my hands. when we struggle to utter the words and verbalize to the Lord, yes, God, you are great and you're awesome. God has given us our bodies to worship Him without even using words. And this psalm says, in your name I'll lift up my hands. Now some of us can think about this quite passionately based on recent events, that when you're watching your team play rugby and they're beating the other team. Hey, Paul? Hey, come on, I've got to bring this in. And this was vetted and it's all good. It passed. When your team's beating the other team, you would obviously get up in absolute celebration and you would like be high-fiving each other and that kind of thing. But when your team's not winning, you could also get up with your hands lifted high, but it'll be out of utter frustration. Hey? Like, come on, how did you miss that tackle? Or miss the ref, hey? Hey? Come on, Paul, I'm just pulling out your soul here, but I've been in your shoes for a long time. But maybe you remember when you were a child? So that was one way to lift your hands, and at a celebration or frustration. Remember when you were a child? Cops and robbers? Hey, you were playing in the garden, and then the cops would find the robbers. What would we say? Didn't play the game. No, oh, come on. Hey, hands up. Hey, in sign of generally surrender. Put your guns down, you know, got you. Maybe, just maybe, the latter part is a bit more evident for David here. He's in the desert. He's in a very, very difficult space in his life. Maybe, just maybe, he is struggling to utter the words. Although he's writing the psalm, maybe he's just writing going, Lord, I need to surrender my life to you again. I need to give you all the praise and all the glory because right now I'm struggling. People are trying to kill me. And not just people, my family are trying to kill me and take over my throne. My life is a real mess. And he surrenders himself to the Lord again. Could be that. But I think for some of us, when life gets really tough, it could be out of utter frustration that we also lift up our hands and go, Lord, we need you to intervene in this country. We need your help in this country, Lord. And it's out of utter frustration that we would then lift up our hands, going, Lord, we need help. Isn't it amazing that you and I, in our storms, can share that frustration with the Lord and trust Him to do what only He can do. Turn your frustration into absolute celebration. Turn your frustration into surrender. Going, Lord, yes, I'm frustrated with this country, but I'm surrendering my life to you. Lord, I'm frustrated with this country, but I see miracles still happen every day. And therefore, I lift my hands and I praise you for as long as I live. Friends, let us learn how to worship the Lord with our mouths in the desert, but also with our bodies. Where sometimes we just need to come in here and just celebrate Jesus, celebrate. You are the King. You are all powerful. And give thanks to Him. We might not have to utter the words, we can just do it with our hands. And so we give you the freedom in the Baptist Church to come in here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and lift up your hands because it's in the Bible. Hey? And come and worship the Lord like that. And just like David did, we could then say, yes, Lord, you are my helper. You satisfy me fully, and your right hand upholds me. And I will rejoice in God because all who do so will glory in Him. When you're in the storm and when life is good, go through Psalm 63 and declare who God is. Remind yourself that God is all-powerful, all-loving, and is present in your life right now, in your desert, or in your pleasure. God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And as you remind yourself of who God is, earnestly seek after Him, just like David did. He did it in the desert. Let's do it in the air-conditioned rooms of our own homes. Eh? Let us seek after God, knowing that His love is better than life itself. And then let's remind ourselves to glorify God with our lips and try and not complain about our desert, knowing that God is there with us and that He will work all things to the good for those who love Him. And even when we struggle to utter the words, let us use our bodies. Let us lift up our hands to the Lord in surrender, but also in frustration, knowing that God can only do what God can only do. God can do what only God can do. And turn that frustration into celebration, so that you and I could also rejoice in God like David did and say, for the rest of my life, to the very ends of this earth, until I meet you face to face, I will glorify your name in and through my body. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Psalm 63. And that David wrote this psalm in the most difficult space in his life, so that we can relate to it in 2017. That when life is tough, that you've enabled us to read through a psalm and to follow David's example. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to do that now, regardless of where we find ourselves in life, whether life is good or just an absolute mess. Help us to worship you following this model and others. Help us to worship you, God, all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.